Welcome to the podcast, Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Rochelle Porter, and I'm here with my friend and dear colleague, Genevieve Lowry.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. We're super excited to get this started. And Rochelle, I'm so excited to be doing this with you. We did spend a lot of time thinking about what to call our podcast. We wanted something that would speak to our child life people, but also something that connected to the larger community.
Yes, and that's where we came up with Coping Kit for Everyday Life. These days, we can really use a bag of tools to really help us deal with the both ordinary and extraordinary things that happen in our lives. We are hoping that our podcast is going to want you to want to share with us and learn more about how you can create your own coping kit by us sharing with you all the different conversations that Genevieve and I have had over the years, and really talking about how we use our child life skills to support children and families, ourselves, and each other. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to our episode of Coping with Everyday Life. And I'm really excited because today we're going to actually have our first guest. And today's topic, we're going to talk about friendship and how friendship can be something we can add to our coping kit for everyday life. So I want to introduce one of our dear friends, Tony. So Tony, welcome. And Genevieve also is here. So between the both of us, I guess thought it'd be kind of fun. Tony, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. And then we'll talk about like how we first met and a little bit about our friendship. So Tony, please introduce yourself to our audience.
Sure. So my name is Tony. I am going to be 50 this year, which is a big milestone. I love counting down the date. And I have been in child life since 1997. So you guys can do the math with that. And yeah, and been friends with you guys since 98, probably, I think. This year that started.
All right. That's super exciting. I'm so excited to have you here, Tony, and to talk about friendship and friendships in child life and how we use friendships in our work and stuff. I'm just really excited to be here and to start us off.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, Tony, we all met in about 1998. So it's kind of funny. It's like me and Genevieve and I talk about like our conversations are like having conversations in an office. So we can pretend like we're back in our office together and really just wanting to talk about friendships and related to our patients and families that we work with. So I just want to think about when I thought about friendships and how it helps our patients, think about some of the common themes that I noticed. And maybe we want to share a little bit about the chronic patients that we work with and chronically ill patients, as well as our long-term patients and like how friendship really helped to support them during their time in the hospital. So one of the things I thought about is that we had a lot of our patients that came in had cystic fibrosis, and how over time, these kids all began to kind of get to know each other. In fact, it always kind of worked out that one or two of the kids were here at the same time, and how they actually developed a friendship with one another, and they had that common experience that they could kind of share with one another and support each other. So I, thought about like how we kind of connected sometimes some of our chronically ill patients to kind of help them through their time in the hospital. So I don't know if you guys had any other common themes or anything that you noticed of how you supported patients to develop friendships as a way of coping.
Yeah, I almost thought we were lucky we had those opportunities because hospitals have changed so much, right? Everybody's in their own rooms and they're not admitted as long and they're really sick when they are admitted. But I agree that population. And also I worked a lot of years on dialysis unit. And I love the fact that in that arena, it was kids of all ages. So I had my young adults and my younger kids. And you could see that sort of friendship to whatever degree it could be, with those different age ranges developed while they were there, because they were coming 3 days a week for 4 hours at a time. So it was this home away from home and just really how they helped each other cope with that procedure and with that illness throughout their stages of having it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two things that came to mind. One was when Rochelle was talking about the kids who had CF in the hospital. And then Tony, you mentioned now that everybody has their own room that back in the day, right? Kids shared a room. And so they always had each other in that room. It makes me think of some of the funny kind of antics that they would get together and pull pranks on us or, be sort of masterminding. And how can we get that nurse or how can we get her to do that? Always kind of like this sort of coming together of these ideas in this room. And even when they were on isolation back in the day, they also had hardline phones, right? So they would actually call each other's room and talk to each other on the phone. I can remember sitting in a patient's room with somebody and being like, oh, this is so-and-so on the phone, you know, like, and they're like two doors down because they'd be on isolation. So even just that kind of like that connection that they had to had with each other, the camaraderie that they developed over not only being similar age and similar diagnoses, but even kids that didn't have the same diagnosis, they acted as sort of the ambassador, like ambassadors to the unit. And then, Tony, when you were talking about dialysis, in my head, and maybe I'm wrong, in my mind, I picture that as like one big open space room, yeah, the same way that the oncology, the hematology oncology clinic was for Rochelle and I when we worked in outpatient hemoc. That not that people were forced to converse with each other because they weren't, but that there is this element of like, we're in this together kind of, yeah, you know, we're all in this together kind of, you know, hunker down mentality, those kinds of spaces. And I think in a lot of ways, as hospitals have grown and changed, and certainly with, you know, more infectious reasons and diseases and things like that, that they need to have more individual rooms. But it, in some ways, we also lost some of those opportunities to build those friendships. And it makes me wonder how child life specialists, what are the ways in which that they encourage that socialization among other patients currently in the hospital?
And that's like, even with that dialysis example, like you're exactly right. Everything was happening to everybody at once. And the kids would notice it and they would be like, Tony, that they really need you over there. You can come talk to me later, but right now I know they really need you over there. And they could see that and work that out. And that's where those pieces of friendship, you know, do build and grow and, you know, developing that empathy that, you know, comes with friendships that I think is so important for everybody, but, you know, especially when they're dealing with these illnesses.
Yeah. And you guys also bring up a point of like, especially now, like how do we allow our patients to still connect? Because reality is everyone is probably in their own room. They may have a roommate depending on, you know, their diagnosis or how the hospital is structured. I think especially now, and also the fact that before, the patients could, if they were old enough, the patient's friends could come from the outside to come in where they're not allowed to come in. So I know technology has played a big role in really keeping kids connected to their families, keeping them connected to their friends. And even for us, we kind of did a lot of interactive programming on closed circuit TV, like anything that kids can actually interact with other kids, I think has made a difference to try to create some connections as well. But I think it's getting a little bit harder to do that.
And I also think, you know, all professional boundaries aside, like child life specialists are truly friends to children. And we help give them that practice in some ways. I know with a lot of my teens that weren't able to easily make friends, they could be a friend with me and we could, you know, talk about different things. And not to the point that, you know, we were personal friends, of course, but that I could give them those skills and just say, all right, now when you go back to school, you know, who are you going to talk to, who are you going to approach, or when you talk to your friends there, and kind of giving them that model as well, too. So kind of in reflecting, we are friends to children and teens that we work with.
Probably about to say a similar thing you could say. Really, at minds think alike. But that's a really interesting description because our role is often ambiguous in a lot of ways because you don't want to get too friendly, too close, too personal, and that, you know, trying to clear and maintain those boundaries. But I think you bring up a really good point about sort of modeling the ways in which, how do you make a new friend? How do you talk about your illness with your friends? Do you talk about your illness with your friends, right? What kinds of things does that create in the friendship? You know, there's research that actually points to that children with chronic illness are a less desirable friend because they're more work. People don't want to invite them over to their house because God forbid something should happen, right? So when you think about kids that are going to school with, you know, common diagnoses like diabetes or arthritis and things that aren't so visual the way that maybe cancer is, or even some of the kids that you worked with who are on dialysis, that they struggle with making friends. And I think that's a really good point that you're making, Tony, about the ways in which that we really support kids in how to make a friend. What does a friend mean to this person? How much do you want to go into that friendship? What do you want to share in that friendship? How do you share it? You know, because those are really personal questions that kids of all ages are really managing, and to have a child life specialist there to really walk them through that process or to role play a little bit, if you will, how to dialogue about those issues. And then just be also practice, how do I do this so that my disease isn't always a factor in everything I'm doing with my friend?
Exactly. It's so funny. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, how do you actually, you know, like Tony was saying also to like model and have those conversations with them so that they can then determine, like you said, how they want to communicate that with their friends and who they want to communicate that with. Yeah. So funny. I was going to say the same thing. So, you know, I think the thing too is that as we talk about friendships, also as we look in our everyday lives as adults, like if we think about how we talk about, as you mentioned, a patient with a chronic illness, like friendship, you know, as an adult, some of us may also as adults have a chronic illness, you know, and how friendship may be a benefit for you to be able to discuss that with your friend as you're going through an illness or as you're going through a loss or, you know, a divorce or any of those types of things that may be a traumatic experience. I think, you know, as we think about our coping kits, like friendship is a benefit to us all. And I'm wondering, like, as you think about it, how has friendship been a benefit to you in your coping kit and for your everyday life, Jen?
It's interesting because I was actually thinking about the three of us, and I was thinking, you know, and not just the three of us, but there is a core of us that met as professionals. So we met professionally and we became, you know, quote unquote, work friends, right? But we've also expanded that relationship outside of that, right? So we've become friends that are also personal friends as well, right? So that distinction between those two things. And I was trying to think, like, okay, so what is it about, like, you know, this group of people? And certainly there's the camaraderie around, we have this shared profession, and there's not a lot of people in my life that are willing to have these conversations about child life work, about dying kids, about sick kids, you know, that understand the world in which we live in. So there's this element of seeking that out and really looking for that. And I think that plays into when there's a crisis, when there's a situation, when there's something happening in my own life. I know that you guys are people that can provide that balance between friendship. You know how to be supportive, right? Like, you'll, in a sense, child life me if I need you to, right? You'll also know that maybe that's not what's appropriate at the moment, right? So you know how to figure that out. And I think that those are really important skills that I look for in friends. You know, who are the people that have your back? Who are the people that, who you can go to? Who are the people that know when to push and when to comfort, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, a couple of things come to mind with that too. I think that part of the reason, you know, you become those work friends is because you've had those shared clinical experiences too, right? We always say you can learn so much from a child through playing with them. You can learn so much about a person through seeing them do child life work. And I think that, you know, you kind of build up that foundation of respect pretty quickly and solidly, I think, over time. So I think, you know, I appreciate that part that we've had those shared experiences too with each other in those spaces. And then I think for myself, like, I feel like I've been involved with so many different things in my life. I love that I have these pockets of friends from different parts of my life that I can go back to. And then you never know, like, which pocket is going to pop up. And I think, you know, for us, we kind of resurrected things during COVID in a lot of ways. As a group, we had some individual streams throughout and definitely could reach out, but got more focused on our re-friendship during the COVID isolation times, I think. But then also just in other situations, I was stuck in an airport once in Chicago with my 10-month-old, and there was no hotel rooms. And I was like, I can't sleep in a hotel room with my baby. And I reached out on Facebook and I had two options. One friend that I knew from 10 years ago from my second time in grad school, and one from 20 years ago that I knew from working at camp. And they both came through for me. And so I love that fact. And again, it's a slight example, but those are, again, people that I had these shared experiences with and true friendships that wouldn't let me sleep in the airport with my 10-month-old in the city. So I think, you know, in reflecting back on that, I love those pockets, and you never know when you're going to draw on people, but they're out there when you need them. And that's a huge coping technique or tool.
Gosh, what is it about Chicago that we get stranded there?
Yeah. When I was stranded in Chicago to a child life conference in New Orleans. It was on the way there.
We
traveled across the world to get to Chicago.
Thank God. We were in Chicago leaving the Child Life Conference
and got stranded, but we were together. But yeah,
that's true. We were together.
Yeah, Chicago. Every time someone mentions, I'm like, how's the weather there? I got stranded there once, but I was with a friend, so that made a whole lot of difference.
Exactly.
Made a big difference. I think you guys brought a lot of great points. You know, one, you know, friendships during this time in COVID and how, you know, friendships probably rekindled or different ways that you kind of stay connected. Zoom probably got a lot of play from everyone having all different Zoom cocktails and Zoom time just to kind of connect because you couldn't see people in person. And then also I would say that, and I think Jen also says the same too, you know, people coming for your life for a reason, a season, a lifetime, and that, you know, you have these pocket of friends. And like you said, you know, I needed someone, I reached out and two people became available. I think the importance of your source of support is that sometimes often we don't realize that we have more support out there than we realize until we ask how much people are willing to help you. And I think about also friendships in the sense of, you know, sometimes they can like improve your self-confidence or just kind of give you that boost. Because sometimes, you know, when you're like not really sure of yourself or just going through something, and it's something amazing about how you can pick up a phone call and talk to someone and they can just kind of lift you up. I think about Tony, you know, I was going through a divorce, but I don't think I was really, really accepting that that's what was happening. And just happened to, you know, she said, oh, come down, let's go for a visit. And, you know, how she like just supported me over a weekend and I not realizing how much I needed that, you know, something I always think about, you know, and treasure. So again, it's like, you never know how your friendship can evolve over time. Because if you think about it, what you said, 1998, but I guess I met you, Jen, in 1992. I mean, you know, this group of friends that we talk about, you know, is over 30 something years, you know, different times in which we've all met and, you know, kind of continued on our friendship. And we've all grown together. Like we've all, you know, gone through, you know, getting married, having kids, you know, now having older parents. Like, I feel like all these different stages of our lives, we've kind of connected and supported each other, you know, in our careers. Tony didn't really talk more about her. She's our world traveler. So, you know, we look at her and she's done some amazing work internationally and learned a lot from her. And Jen being in academia, like, I feel like all of us have done so many different things, interesting things, and how we've all just been there to say, you know, kind of like a cheerleader and supported each other. Hey, that's great. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. That's amazing. I think something about that, building that confidence and that support is something that I find is a benefit of friendship.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think also we're all so different and our interests are different. And yet when intersections happen, we're like really push our friend's name forward. And hey, you know, like you'd be great for this thing. Like you here, I saw this thing and I think you'd be really interested in this, or I really want you to join me in doing this, you know, presentation, right? Can we do this together? Right. And I can think of multiple times for all three of us where we've kind of done that for each other also. And I think a real friend recognizes someone's strengths and puts that person forward, or like really encourages that person to go for something that might push them a little bit out of their comfort zone, right? Like this podcast is a great example. And there are times, you know, where like different things in our lives have come up and just been like, hey, you know, you'd be great for this. And so I think friends can also be that person who sees things in you that you may not see yourself, and can really be that person who encourages you to step outside of your comfort zone and do something that maybe you didn't even know you would be really good at doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely, you know, pushing you out of the comfort. I think, you know, sometimes people see something in you that you don't see in yourself. So I totally, I hear that when you speak of that, resonates with me. And I also think, you know, our audience may have different types of friendships or maybe not have this long-term life kind of friendship. But I really want people to think about, like, what is your source of support? Who are the people who are around you? Are it, you know, people that you may work with, or is, you know, people within your community? I think that's oftentimes, you know, you can create new friendships also, because I think sometimes people feel like, oh, well, I'm not young anymore, so I can't have friendships anymore. Or, you know, I'm living in a new place. I don't know anyone, so I don't have any friends. But I do encourage people to think about, like, because having friendships and these relationships are very beneficial to you. You can create them, you know, and it may be looking and stepping out of your comfort zone. That's what I thought of it. And actually creating some new relationships and new friendships. And it builds over time. Absolutely. You know, you don't meet someone and say, okay, you're my friend, but you get to know them. Like Tony talked about earlier, like how she gets to watch a Charlie special to get to know them and then kind of see like, okay, this is a person like I jive with, you know, someone I want to get to know more. And then you build into a relationship. But I think really, I think oftentimes friendships, there could be so many different types of friendships that you can have. So, you know, I guess I'm saying don't eliminate people. There may be actually people out there that who can be your source of support, who can, you know, be a benefit for you and support you in having that. So I just want people to think about that. Like, who could those people possibly be for you? And, you know, as we start to close, I think that, you know, we always like to ask this question, Tony, is like, what is your takeaway? Jen could speak to it. I could speak to it also, like, as we're like closing this conversation, like, you know, what is your takeaway? Something that you've taken away from this conversation that we're having today?
Well, first of all, it always goes by quick when you're talking to friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little plug. I think the takeaway, I mean, I like your points, Rochelle. Like, I think I sometimes get frustrated now that I've been in another new, starting over again, and been in another new state for just over a year now. And how it is hard to make friends, and especially when we're a little more isolated, but really putting it out there that, you know, it's important to do that. And whoever they may be, whether they're my, you know, mom friends that I share, my son shares activities with, or other leaders at work or other people that I work with, I think that's an important thing to keep going on. And, you know, because you never know what it will lead to.
I think for me, the takeaway is also sort of the similar in a way, the pockets of friends, right? Like, so the different places of which I might make friends. I've got friends who I have at work, who I see at work and have at work, and then friends like you guys and other people, you know, like Troy and Deb, who are friends outside of work also in a different way. And then friends who I've had since I was a child, friends from my church, friends that have extended over years, friends who I just met. You know, like, and I think to Tony's, since you are turning 50 also, that making friends as you get older is harder. But I think in some ways, it's even more important to continue to make and meet new people in your life and to sort of keep yourself really going and being present in your own life, and that friendships are a way to really do that, because that also can help you cope with, you know, sort of having that outlet and that opportunity and those chances to form new relationships that do push you outside of your comfort zone.
So yeah, for me was the same thing about the, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone piece of it and creating new connections. Cause I think that was something for me, I was like, oh, I have all my friends. Like, I don't need any new friends. And, you know, me just starting to get into the coaching world and really start to connect with other coaches. Like, I've actually kind of created a whole new group of friends and support another group of people, support network. So, you know, shout out to the Fearless Living crew out there. But, you know, and how that's been really helpful for me, because again, it actually expanded me. People from all over, you know, some people all over the United States I've met. So I've learned a lot of interesting people with common interests, but on also, you know, again, like creating a bigger support network for different things. Because I think the reality is that we've talked about before is that everyone needs support, and that sometimes it's good to have a variety of people that can support you in different ways. So you're not always relying on one person, and that you have other people in your life that can support you and that you can support them as well. So I think that's, go ahead.
I would just add that the one thing we didn't talk about, and this might be a whole nother podcast since I know we're running
all right,
out of time, that friends are just fun too. Like, I think we minimize that fact that we've, you know, all had some great fun times with whatever pocket of friends there are. And thankfully they weren't documented like they are now.
Isn't that the truth?
But I think, you know, there's something, you know, endorphin wise even too, that friends bring out that fun part and knowing. And I think again, that's how we help kids still be kids and navigate their friendships. But that's what we need throughout our lives as well to continue on.
Yeah, I agree with
very
you, Tony. You
know, point.
So important to have fun. Like, I think, you know, especially the work we do, you could take life so seriously, and the fact that you really do have to have fun. And then fun, you know, also leads to happiness and also proven to reduce stress. So I think all of those are important factors. So thanks for mentioning that. So we may have a new topic to add to it. So, you know, as we close, we thank you for joining us for this episode. I leave you with to really think about, like, who is your source of support? Who is in your network? And, you know, how do you continue to step out of your comfort zone to grow your network in different ways that support you? Because again, we're talking about what will support you, you know, what you want to put in that coping kit, in that bag for yourself of support. So we're putting friendship in today. And I want you to think about, like, how do you expand that in your life? So again, we look forward to you joining us again. Please share this podcast with anyone you know. Share it with your friends. Again, you will be able to have the resource and notes of today's topic. Always wanted to hear from you. And please feel free to share any ideas. Tony's already given us an idea. So Tony, I hope you will join us again.
And thank you.
At one point, thank you for being our guest today. And until the next time, continue to add things into your everyday coping kit. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today for our episode of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. We hope you take away something from this podcast that sparks your imagination or you discover a new tool for your coping kit. Remember to check out our resources and exercises in today's podcast notes. We would love to hear from you. Please share your comments, questions, or suggestions for future shows. You can find our email in our podcast notes. Look forward to hearing from you.